Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Read with me these three verses from our epistle reading one more time as we consider them today. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What comes to mind when I say the phrase, timing is everything? There are so many things in life that require precise timing. It's hard to know when the right time to do something is. For example, I'm not a baker, but I've been blessed to know many good and talented bakers in my life, especially my wife. I'm always amazed at the timing that's required in baking, knowing how long to mix something, when exactly to add certain ingredients, when and how long to let something stand, and so on. For baking, timing is everything. This is also true in things like real estate. This is an example that gets a lot of attention in the news these days, especially the last few years. When to buy or sell a home. Many of us have done this recently, in the past few years again, myself included. The difference between getting a good return on your investment or possibly losing more money than you want to, it all comes down to timing. For real estate, timing is everything. There's so many things in life where timing is critical. The right time to schedule a meeting or a conversation. The right time to start a new diet or exercise regimen. The right time for making a career change. The right time to make an important medical decision. It can be hard sometimes to know when the right time is, especially when you know that that timing is important. Well, today in our epistle reading today from Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul talks about timing. Except he's not talking about timing in our decisions that we make here on earth. No, he's talking about God's timing, particularly the time when he chose to send his Son, Jesus Christ, as the one willing to sacrifice himself for our sake. When we as human beings think about making sacrifices of any kind, great or small, but especially that ultimate sacrifice of laying down our lives for another person, well, we are going to think about that in ways entirely different than God. That's what Paul is saying when he writes those words, "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person." In other words, the way that we think about it, if I were to tell you that I knew a really upright person who's doing a lot of good for a lot of people, and I asked you, you don't know them, but I asked you if you are willing to sacrifice for them, if you are willing even to lay down your life for them, they're really righteous, so that they could continue their important work. That would probably be a really hard thing for you to even consider. Maybe if the circumstances were dire enough, or maybe if the timing was just right somehow, but the truth is, that's not something that we would normally consider. And that's what Paul's saying. And he goes on, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. And the meaning there is someone who is good to you, someone you have a connection with, not just someone you're vaguely aware of. And for a person like that, for a person who's done good for you, then you might give it some thought to sacrifice them, even lay down your life for them. But even in that case, the circle of people that you would do that for is probably relatively small. Your family, your friends, maybe some dear loved ones. That's how we as human beings think. That's how our brains process the timing of a sacrificial act like laying down your life for someone else. That there are certain prerequisites we have, and therefore certain timing to an act like that. But Paul says that God's timing is completely different than ours. He writes, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So what does God say are his prerequisites? What is the right time for him to give us his son? What is the right time for him to lay down his life for our sake? It was while we were still weak, while we were ungodly even, while we were still sinners. God doesn't think the same way that we do. God's timing is not the same as our timing. When every earthly reason exists in the world not to do something, like giving up your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, into death on the cross for a bunch of unrighteous people, that is precisely the moment when God says, "This is the right time." It was the time when we were weak and didn't have the strength to do anything for God. It was the time when we were ungodly, lost in our fallen ways, and as Scripture says, even his enemies. It was the time when we were trapped in our sin and death. But for God, that meant the right time. Consider Paul's life, the Apostle Paul, the one who's writing these inspired words. If you recall, Paul wasn't always known as Paul. His name had been Saul. And he was part of the Jewish religious elite, a Pharisee, who was convinced that Jesus was nothing more than a false Messiah who had hoodwinked a lot of people. And those people who now followed Jesus, they posed a threat to their nation, but not only their nation, also to their religion and to God himself. And so Paul decided, known as Saul at the time, that the time was right for him to prove himself to God by being the most zealous persecutor of the Christian church, traveling around and dragging men and women out of their homes and throwing them into prison. But Jesus came to Paul and met him. And when did that occur? When was the right time for Jesus to do that? When was it? When Paul had a personal epiphany of his own? Was it when Paul got his act together and realized what he was doing was wrong? Was it when Paul decided to stop doing what he was doing and realized he needed to do something to prove to God he was sorry? No, it wasn't any of that. It was at the moment when Paul was at his worst, having just received new orders to commit heinous crimes against the Christians in Damascus. But just like we heard in Romans chapter 5, Jesus comes to Paul when he was his weakest, when he was his most ungodly, when he was the most sinful. And Jesus worked in Paul's life a transformation that can only be credited to the Holy Spirit and to the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Paul is a picture of God's perfect timing. So often we have this notion that in order to approach God, that we need to show God that we deserve it, that in order to be accepted by God, to be loved by God, that we somehow need to be adequate, that we need to have done enough good deeds, that we need to have a certain level of righteousness, that we need to prove to God our value. But the radical nature of the gospel and of what God has chosen to do for us and for all the world in Jesus Christ is that he values us, loves us, sacrifices for us, and saves us before we could ever prove to him anything. In other words, God didn't choose to love us because we were valuable. Rather, we are valuable because God chooses to love us. Before the Holy Spirit worked faith in your heart, you too were the weak one, the ungodly one, the sinful one. Just like Paul, just like me, just like everyone else. But God knew you before you were born. And when you had nothing else in your hands to bring him except sin and shame, God said, now is the right time. And it may have been a slightly different set of circumstances for each of us in our lives, but whenever it was, when that word of the gospel first reached your ears, and when the waters of baptism first splashed over your head, that was when God claimed you and said, you are one for whom my son Jesus died. You are mine. And that was God's perfect timing for you. Many people these days choose to exclude themselves from the life of the church, the body of Christ, where we experience here on earth the forgiveness of sins and the community that Jesus desires for us to have. And there are many reasons why people choose to do this, choose to exclude themselves. More reasons than we have time on a Sunday morning to dive into. But at least one reason is that some people may not feel that the time is right for them to be in church. That is, that there is something in their life, whether it be certain doubts or fears or sins or just the messy problems that life brings, that makes them feel like now is the wrong time to come before God. They don't want to drag all that into church. They need to get their act together before they could even think about approaching the body of Christ. A lot of this stems from our human tendency to always think in terms of achievement and not grace. We're not very good at grace in our society. We are an achievement-based society. In our Western culture, we place value on a person based on what they are able to accomplish, what they are able to do, what they are able to bring to the table. And this is true in everything in life, from our very youngest, with our close attention to our children's milestones and achievements, tracking their every step against what is quote-unquote normal for their age, to later in childhood, when they are in sports and extracurriculars and academics, making sure that they have the best resume for college and then for their first job after college, all the way through our adult lives and careers and even into retirement. We are always measuring our goals, our status, our bank accounts, our value based on what we've achieved. Now, the things that I've just mentioned aren't necessarily bad things, of course. But we must always be aware of how they affect the way we think about ourselves and how that affects how we imagine God thinks about us. That we tend to measure our value in terms of our achievements. And therefore, doesn't God do the same? And so the person who says, I've got to get my act together before I could ever step foot in church, or even worse, who says, the church is just another place with another set of rules I have to follow, and since I have plenty of those in my life as it is, it would just be easier if I just cut that out of my life. That person misses the point of being in church. This is the point of God's mercy and grace. They don't realize that God doesn't only value us when we think the time is right, whenever we think we have enough value, but rather God values us when He has determined the time is right. And because of Christ, that time is always now. David Zoll, author of the book Seculosity, traces the effects of our achievement-based society and notes that even when people who say they aren't religious in any way, ironically, they are often the ones that are still religiously committed to pursuing whatever they think it is to measure up to the standards that the world has, these achievement-based standards. And it leads, honestly, so many people in our world down dark and dangerous roads when they realize, and we all come to that realization, that ultimately we all fall short. And for this reason, Zoll laments that in our culture, churches are no longer viewed as places of refuge from this kind of thinking, even though that's exactly what they're meant to be. In an interview about his book, roughly 5 years ago, Zoll said, "You realize that everyone already feels like a failure. We all have some sort of treadmill that we're running on. People are suffering under enormous burdens of who they think they should be. And what would it look like for our houses of faith to be places you go when you mess up, rather than places you flee from when you have? Places you go when you mess up, rather than places you flee from when you have. When you cut religion out of your life, Zal continues, a lot of times it looks like you're cutting out the oppressive part, all the mandates. But what you're actually doing is cutting off the forgiveness. Clergy used to be your local forgiveness person. Wouldn't it be beautiful if our houses of worship were places we could go to unload, to atone, to be refreshed, to receive hope beyond your performance that day? Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I've got good news for you. Today, our Lord Jesus Christ brings you hope beyond your performance today. Jesus has given his life for you at the right time, which doesn't mean when your resume was finally perfected, and it doesn't mean when your household was finally put in order, and it certainly doesn't mean when you've had a week that was sin-free and you finally measured up to God's standards. Because truth be told, that will never happen. You will always fall short. You will always fall short of the exacting standards that this world places on you and that we place on ourselves, and you will always fall short of the holy and divine standards of God's law. But precisely when and because you and I fall short, God says that is the right time. The right time for his mercy and grace, the right time for the forgiveness of sins, the right time for the gift of Jesus Christ, who gave himself into death for our sin and for our eternal life, the right time for us not to keep our distance from God, to keep God at an arm's length, or to keep our distance from his church, but the right time to draw close, and as we do, realize that God has already drawn incredibly close to us in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now is the right time for us to see and to share with others that we have been reconciled to God by the death of his Son, and that by his life we have been saved. After all, God's timing is everything. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.